This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Shaurya Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Brian Fernandez, the top business stories of the day. We're going to be looking south to Singapore and its budget announcement. It includes a range of tax increases as well as a budget surplus ang pao. This comes just a week after data shows that Singapore's economy grew at a slower pace in the fourth quarter than was previously estimated. We're going to take a closer look at some of the highlights from the budget announcement. Let's start with GST. They're increasing it to 9%. Joyce, we were speculating about this just a week ago, weren't we?
Yes, we were talking about this last week. And yeah, it's happening now. So Singapore's GST rate will be increased for the first time in more than a decade from 7% to 9%. So the last time they raised the GST was in 2007, when it went up from 5% to 7%. So the proposal increased GST will be implemented sometime during 2021 to 2025.
Well, that's quite a long period, isn't it?
So they're going to watch timing, I guess, and how the economy is and all that. So the GST increase will be implemented in a progressive manner. And the government expects a 0.7% boost in revenue after the GST hike.
Now, you know, GST often has an impact on the lower income. So to help the lower income households cope, the GST voucher scheme will be topped up by 2 billion Singapore dollars. Currently, they spend about 800 million Singapore dollars a year. Now, to put that in perspective, the BRIM allocation for Malaysia in 2018 is expected to cost the government 6.8 billion ringgit. Now, and this is going to be delivered to 7 million households. Now, this figure of 6.8 billion is much higher than the 5.4 billion spent on the program last year.
Just to maybe to do the conversion, 2 billion Sing dollars is about 6 billion ringgit at this point in time, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, you mentioned, Brian, just now the voucher scheme. What is this GST voucher scheme?
Well, Shaurya, the permanent GST voucher scheme was introduced by the Singaporean government back in 2012. This is to help lower-income Singaporeans, right? So the GST voucher is given in three components. They have cash, MediSave, and USave. So cash is basically cash handouts to lower-income Singaporeans and with immediate needs. MediSave provides elderly Singaporeans aged 65 and above with a top-up to their CPF MediSave account to support their medical needs. And for USave, that provides lower and middle-income Singaporeans HDB households with quarterly rebates to offset their utility bills.
Now, so the government will also implement an offset package for a period of time to help Singaporeans adjust to the GST increase. Now, more details are supposed to come in after the timing of the GST increase has been determined.
Now, Singapore also announced that from the 1st of January 2020, that's 2 years from now, digital services from overseas suppliers will be taxed, even if they do not have a physical presence in Singapore.
Yeah, so some examples of imported services would include things like music and video streaming. So think of Spotify, for example, apps, listing fees on electronic marketplaces like Alibaba, software and online subscription fees as well. Now, GST will also cover imported services for businesses such as marketing, accounting, IT and management services. However, interestingly enough, the move will not affect e-commerce for goods. Now, despite speculation by observers earlier.
Right, so this must be good news for shoppers in Singapore.
Well, Shaurya, well, that's for now. But the Singaporean government is reviewing international developments before deciding on measures to take regarding the collection of GST on low-valued imported goods. So this includes online shopping. Yeah.
So what are the countries that have imposed a GST on e-commerce?
Okay, Australia, for example, plans to tax low-value goods sold via e-commerce from this July. Now, on goods valued below Australian $100, which is about 300 ringgit. Now, Switzerland plans to follow suit from 2019 and countries in the EU from 2021. So that's literally the direction that other countries are taking. Maybe perhaps we would be following suit soon.
Yeah, I think government is looking at digital economy. Remember, there was a lot of conversation on that. We were talking about that a couple of months ago. It is something that is very global. Everyone's looking at it. It's just implementation. I don't think governments are are sure as to how. I think everyone's just.
And how would they get compliance, right? From a lot of these companies. Maybe the big companies, but what about the smaller companies where you know they might very easily go under the radar in terms of transactions?
I suppose that's the mechanics that they're working on now before implementation, because like you said, if not, there will be too many leakages from people that are not paying.
Yeah, even Singapore's the recent GST to apply on digital services, it's for suppliers that are overseas and they do not have a physical presence here, physical presence in Singapore, they will be taxed. So it's also implementation. It'll be interesting to see how the Singaporean government implements that.
Right. I think when we have conversations about the budget here in Malaysia, we often, and the media often, talks about goodies. There's always these handouts, you know, and they love to have a list of so-called goodies. Now, Singaporeans are being given some goodies, and this is coming in the form of a bonus, a budget surplus bonus, apparently.
Yeah, ang pao. So we'll be getting ang paos from their budget surplus. So Singaporeans who are 21 years and above will receive a one-off ang pao of up to 300 Sing dollars this year. So those who earn 28,000 Sing dollars and below a year will receive 300 Sing dollars. Those earning above 28,000 Sing dollars up to 100,000 Sing dollars will receive 200 Sing dollars ang pao, and Singaporeans who earn more than 100,000 Sing dollars a year or who own more than one property will receive 100 Sing dollars ang pao.
So everyone gets a little bit of ang pao.
Yes.
But the bonus will cost the government about 700 million Singapore dollars. But to put it in its context, Singapore for this financial year, 2017, had a surplus of 9.6 billion Singapore dollars, making it the largest single year budget surplus in 30 years in dollars terms.
Yeah.
So the surplus came from the Monetary Authority of Singapore and stamp duty from property transactions.
Yeah, they also had a budget surplus for 2016 that was 12 billion Sing dollars. And this was after the government booked a rare deficit in 2015, showing its largest shortfall in over 7 years of a budget deficit of over 4 billion Sing dollars. This was in FY 2015.
Now, what about the comparison to Malaysia? Because we always want to compare ourselves to our southern neighbours. That's kind of almost instinctive urge. How do we compare in terms of successive budget deficits?
So unfortunately, the report card is not that great on our side. Malaysia has had successive budget deficits since 1998. To put it in its context, in 2016, we had a deficit of 38.4 billion ringgit. 2017, the estimate is just under 40 billion. And 2018, not much better, also 39.79 billion.
Well, just looking at the Sing dollar right now, I think it's one Sing dollar to 2.96 ringgit. We're looking at that.
Right.
So if you get ang pao of like 300 Sing dollars, you get nearly 900, close to 1,000 ringgit.
Yeah. But I think the comparison with Singapore is, you know, it has to be done in a careful way, because the purchasing parity issue is different, right? I mean, the basket of goods you can buy for 10 Singapore dollars as opposed to, you know, 10 Malaysian ringgit is different, right?
Yeah,
and we need to kind of work that out, because the comparison is not so easy to make.
Yes, and also population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, coming back to the question of the budget, do we know anything about the reasoning behind some of these initiatives? We've seen the goodies, but what is the thinking?
Well, Singapore Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat says that there is a need to strengthen their fiscal footing in the next decade between 2021 and 2030. If they do not take measures early, they will not have enough revenue to meet their growing needs. So basically, you know, Singapore is an aging population, low fertility rate, so that's expected to curb its growth outlook.
Now, so Malaysia should take a leaf out of our neighbor's playbook. And really prepare for the future, because government expenditure, particularly in healthcare and pension payments, are set to soar in the medium and long term as our population as well ages. So EPF economist Nur Hisham Hussain said in October last year, literally, that in the next 30 years or so, we're going to have 15-20% of the population above the age of 60. And if you look at household expenditure, you're going to have the bulk of your cost of healthcare in the last 2 years of your life. Also, the other key points he brought up was the fact that size of families are decreasing. Government expenditure on pension payments are also going to be rising rapidly. And however, government income is going to be falling because the tax base is going to be lower.
Now, as we come back to our shores, let's take a look at the Malaysian Reserve. It's run a story about Bank Negara issuing an internal circular to revise the definition of small medium enterprises, or SMEs. This new definition came into effect at the start of this year.
Yeah, so let's look at the current definition. As used in a manufacturing sector right now, companies with a sales turnover of more than 50 million or lower than 50 million or full-time employees not exceeding 200 workers. Now, for the services sector, the quantum is lower. Sales turnover should not exceed 20 million or full-time employees should not be more than 75.
Yeah, so with Bank Negara's revised definition of SMEs, these categories are no longer deemed as SMEs, and these are listed entities and GLCs, including their subsidiaries, companies under the MOF, state-owned enterprises, large firm and multinational corporations. However, the redefinition of the SMEs does not include listed firms on the ACE market or companies trading on the secondary market.
Now, what will this redefinition mean?
Essentially, those companies that we just mentioned, those categories of companies will no longer be able to qualify for government assistance. They will be omitted from enjoying any grants or benefits from the government. So it's quite, hundreds of companies are potentially impacted by this.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So if you look at it, right, this redefinition could mean that SME financing and grants will be more effective, going to companies that need it the most, right? And also could have implications to calculation of statistics about SMEs' contribution to the Malaysian economy. Right now, 98% of businesses in Malaysia are SMEs. SMEs contribute more than a third of GDP. That's almost 36%. And SMEs employ more than 4 million workers in Malaysia. So could these numbers change with Bank Negara's revised definition?
We look forward to a more discussion on that. Now, let's turn our attention to newspapers. The Media Chinese International Limited will be raising the cover price of its flagship newspaper, Hsinchu Daily, by 20 cents, effective 1st of March this year, which is a couple of weeks now, isn't it? Next month.
Yeah.
The cover price will be 1.50 ringgit.
Yeah, so according to the Kenanga Research, they reported that Media Chinese International will be raising the cover price of its remaining newspapers such as China Press, Guanming and Nanyang by 20 cents each, effective early March. Media Chinese International attributes the price increase really to rising operating expenditure. And they had to raise prices because they hadn't done so for 13 years.
Wow, this is inevitable, right? I mean, look at Star as well. A couple of months ago, I think they raised their cover price as well by 10 cents for the weekday paper.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, looking at the whole media industry, what's happening in print.
Yeah, because of the decline in revenues, they need to find new sources of revenue.
It used to be that, the price of newsprint kind of determine the cost of the newspaper. You'd always have that as an explanation, right? The cost of newsprint. But the media actually has, and newspapers in particular have larger problems of relevance, speed at which they're delivering information and whether people will pay.
And people consuming news, the platform has changed in a way they have to monetize that.
Absolutely. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market and more news and analysis for you. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.